We are literally inundated with requests for work. And if anything, I would say it's evidence of a broken marketplace, right? So here you have a situation where we opened the doors. We were able to deliver on true user-centered, agile work inside the federal government, and everybody wanted this service. It was really never our intention to sort of build everything for the federal government. That's sort of ridiculous, as you mentioned, on the scale of it. But really, from the get-go, we wanted to end at this moment. We wanted to come around to this point where we started creating our own BPAs, our own marketplaces, so that we could get to vendors. But to do that first, there's so many internal changes that the agencies need to make in order to have the infrastructure to support this new way. And that's what we spent the last year doing. So while everybody was sort of concerned that we were out there to win all this business and do it for ourselves, we were quite literally using those projects to show evidence of necessary changes to deliver in a continuous deployment environment and rapid delivery. And now, I mean, I'm thrilled because we're here. It's sort of like a finish line in many ways. Like, we get to turn the corner now, and the only way this scales across government if vendors join us. I mean, that's that simple.
One question that occurs to me is, why go through a BPA? Because what you're talking about is a culture change in many ways. How you look at projects, how you write requirements, how you develop RFQs or RFPs. Why have a BPA and why not look at Schedule 70 and say, we're going to train contracting officers to write RFQs that meet agile requirements instead of creating a BPA that does agile?
One of the things that government buying sort of gets well is like buying from a department store. Right? Where, so if you're buying from the IT department store and you have the whole world of IT in that department store, the problem with that is, particularly when you get into specialized needs of customized software development, there's so many different flavors of that. And I'll give you an example. For us, we want to work in an agile way using time and materials, right? And we philosophically believe time and materials is the alignment that aligns best with true agile development. And so we want companies that specifically are organized to execute on that. Now imagine another small marketplace that does agile but with firm fixed price. We could get in a philosophical debate as to whether that makes sense or not, but there's companies that do that, and they're organized in a specific way. And what I'm trying to do is draw the specifics out so that you have a nurtured marketplace that is companies continuously coming in and keeping the competition high on specific ways of delivering services. And my hope is not that everyone in the government just uses our BPA, but sort of learns from this model. I think the future of buying, and this is a hypothesis, right? We're testing this. So the future of buying is really about micro markets and specializing and cultivating over time. We don't win day one of this marketplace, right? It's like year three of this marketplace. It's like matured. It's really working. And this is how I think you get good results. Same way for hiring, by the way. Like, if you, it's easy for people to conceptualize it. Like, if you're going to hire a group of people, it's like a garden. You till that garden. You work on the culture. You do all that stuff. You need to have that same mentality towards vendors and make sure you get a good group of people that, like, know exactly how you work. And every vendor buying from them buys in the same way. Now, we'll always have GSA Schedule 70, and you can go to the department store, and there would be many people that do that, and I don't want to take away the department store, but I really want to get into specific ways of seamlessly aligning multiple groups to deliver on products in a cost-effective way.
Very nice turnout for Industry Day here at GSA for the Agile BPA that you guys are putting together. Give us just the time frame of this. I think a lot of people are interested.
We're looking to have this awarded, let's call it the end of March, maybe early April, for the Alpha. We will then, based on results of working with the Alpha, begin launching the work to launch the larger beta based on lessons learned and things that we do in the Alpha stage. So I would expect the beta anywhere from 6 to 9 months after that.
And the Alpha is just with 18F. The beta then would be open to government-wide. And the goal here is to say, well, let's see how we use it, and then let's see what we can learn and make it better.
Exactly. We're taking an iterative approach to improving this procurement process, and we know there's going to be things, that kinks that need to be worked out, but a lot of the bigger issues we've worked out over the last year, just with our own production floor working with the federal government, and now we want to scale that to vendor.
You guys got a tremendous response for the RFI, something in the effect of 270 people or vendors responding. responded? What did you learn from the RFI that now you can apply to the draft RFQ that should be coming out in the next couple days or a week or so, and that will eventually obviously lead to the RFQ coming out sometime in February?
The biggest thing we've learned came from the enormity of the response. We talked to some companies who said they wanted to work this way. I did not realize how many did, right? And so we're getting a lot of positive response of working in this new fashion in a true agile way and having an aligned agile acquisition process that is aligned with an agile development process, right? So I'm very encouraged by the number of companies who actually want to work this way. The second thing is some of the nuances of how we want to get people on the BPA and how we do like this 24-hour challenge. I think we're getting a lot of great feedback on ways to make that challenge better so it's, you know, people can do it and participate and it's fair across all the organization.
The 24-hour challenge, you got some good responses. The goal behind that is if you qualify under the Schedule 70, the special item number, and you meet certain specifications, then you can go through the 24-hour challenge. Explain what that is going to look like.
At the core of it, we're looking for companies whose core competency is actually building in the way that we work. In doing so, it's a user-centered way. It's working typically in open source and coding and storing your code in a repository and doing all that stuff. So we're looking to take this sample, this sort of test, if you will, and show that you know how to do that work and you can do it quickly, right? The key here is speed and responsiveness, and show us how you work and show us. And we'll read the code, right? Let's not make a 25-page document. Let's build a web page and then look at the code and see how you did it.
I also caught up with Ryan Padchansarum, a Deputy Chief Technology Officer in the White House. He tells me why the push for Agile is taking hold now.
You have an entire community of engineers within government, now outside of government, all that have come together in this room that know this is the right thing to do next. They absolutely do. We want services built more Agile, iteratively and whatnot. But I think this has been kind of in the making, right? You know, there have always been talented technologists across government, but they've never been all together in one room. Todd Park started the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program, which was essentially parachuting Googlers and Microsofties and techies from the outside in government. And when you started to pair them, you started to see something really interesting happen. You started to see them build really good, meaningful things for the American people. And from there, the round one Presidential Innovation Fellows, round two comes about. Round two creates 18F and creates this place and space where more ideas can come to life. And like, I think 18F is teaching us a lot of lessons, how to build things iteratively, how to build things open, how to build things more data-driven. And so I think they're really setting the tone. And I think for this event here today, they're showing us how everyone can play along. You don't necessarily need to be inside a government to build in the new Agile iterative. You actually can do it from the outside as well, too. And so it's helping the entire federal government catch up.
Bring in the Presidential Innovation Fellows. In many ways, that was, as you said, the first step toward where I think the government is trying to head. From your perspective at OSTP, what's the one or two big lessons that maybe you would say the PIFs taught us that can now be applied to this new BPA if you think about the length of time that it's been around?
I think a few things. Like, one big one is really around openness. Right, I think one of the big requirements of getting into this BPA is putting your code in a source, you know, like a Git or Subversion, but that it's public for people to see. I think that really causes you to take some of the best development practices that are happening in the private sector and now start to use them in government, where you have companies like WordPress who put all of their code out in the open for people to use. You have companies like Facebook and Square that take a lot of their libraries and put them out there. And so I think that's like a good habit and lesson that they're bringing. I think the other piece too is I think 18F and the fellows and whatnot are teaching government how to structure and ask problems better, right? How to articulate them in ways that get engineers excited, that get developers excited to like build things that actually meet user needs. And so those two things are kind of the, I think, the most exciting.
There were some comments I heard earlier today at a different conference about some potential policy that's coming from OFPP. I know that's not your realm, but from your perspective, what is the missing piece, whether it's a policy change or regulation? Is there one or two things that the government needs help on, either from industry or from your office, to say, how can we make sure this gets, I'll use the word, institutionalized?
I think the thing that's missing, and you're starting to see more of it, especially coming from GSA 18F, is the patterns that work, right? Like, we don't need to be reinventing the wheel every single time a digital project starts. And so I think, like, 18F is trying to find those patterns. I think industry can do the same and show us what patterns work, patterns that work for hosting, patterns that work for caching, patterns that work for, you know, forms and things like that. And so every project that we start to undertake going forward becomes easier and easier and easier.
I saw the federal CTO, Megan Smith, speak, your boss, recently, and she talked about the TQ person, right?
Yes,
the right technical quotient, person with the right. How much is your office able to help agencies find those right people?
Our office, OMB with USDS and 18F, I think we're on a mission. I think we're on a mission to find people across the country that are designers, developers, product managers that want to come serve and work in government. And it really has been our charge since Todd kind of started with the PIFs. Those first 18 were the spark that showed people would be willing to give their lives in Silicon Valley and whatnot and come out here. We still have 2 good years to go, and a lot of technology things can happen in 6 months, can happen in 3 months. So we think a lot can happen.